Senator Ekin, and I believe the only thing under our jurisdiction is Section 1.
That is correct, Madam Chair. And I do have an amendment to the bill as well, so if we could have the bill moved so it could be brought before us, and then if somebody could move the amendment.
I had a question about your amendment, since it's not within our jurisdiction, these sections 18 and 22. So, and it's not, this was, you came from another committee, so this is not an author's amendment. So you do need to explain to us what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Sure. Sure,
Madam
Chair.
You want to start with that?
Sure.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, this amendment came about because there was a little conflict over those two sections. And what those two sections did was it said that counties would not be able to contract out for assessments that are being done in the area of continuing care. And there were some concerns expressed about that. So in order to make this a bill that was that didn't have that conflict, we just removed those two sections.
So you're going back to current law?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose that's okay. Did you want to comment on that at all?
My name is Alex Bartolik, and I'm with the Department of Human Services, and the Senator expressed it well. We just would like to return to current law and deal with the issues in a different context.
I neglected a procedural thing. This is the bill that has the first engrossment. Okay. That has the engrossment? Committee engrossment? Oh, I'm thinking of this one. That has the committee engrossment. Oh, okay. So this is already, all right. So we're ready to go. Senator Thompson.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Ekin, I actually had an amendment prepared to reinstate this ability to contract out services in the event that it has cost savings and the like. Obviously, I'm just now getting familiar with your amendment. So essentially, if I understand it correctly, your amendment would restore allowing us to do the contracting out. Is that correct?
Senator Ekin.
Madam Chair and Senator Thompson, that is correct, yes.
And Madam Chair?
Senator Thompson.
Thank you. Just to follow up. Now, my understanding, Senator, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that in order to be able to do that, we have to have a provision included in the contract that we have with the federal government, and that was omitted. So is that being taken care of? How is that being handled?
Senator Ekin.
And Madam Chair, and I'll probably leave that to my colleague here to describe.
Madam Chair.
Would you repeat your name again, please?
My name is Alex Bartolik.
Okay.
We do need to deal with this issue. We'd like to move it from the policy bill and deal with it in our budget bill to make sure that we are handling how we are going to deal with working with the federal government on our reimbursement strategy.
Senator Thompson.
Madam Chair, the amendment that I have deals with this, but I don't want to get in the way of Senator Ekin presenting his bill. Are you open, since it sounds like this might be a friendly amendment, to taking a look at the amendment and see if it provides for getting the federal aspect of this handled once we get to that point?
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Thompson, I'm certainly open to discussing that with you.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
But in the meantime, we have the A4 amendment. Senator Thompson, did you want to offer the A4 amendment?
I have to see it first.
It deletes Section 8 and Section 10 and goes back to current law.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little uncomfortable, frankly, Madam Chair, with the answer I got. The answer wasn't, yes, we're going to fix it with the federal government. It was, we're going to deal with it somewhere else. So I'm not sure what the answer was.
Okay, Senator Johnson moves the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, Senator Ekin, why don't you go back, then we'll go back to Section 1.
Sure.
Which is the section that's under our jurisdiction.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this this bill is a Department of Human Services bill that's comprised of policy changes for continuing care in the area of the department, covering long-term care policy. And as you said, Madam Chair, the only section that's relevant to this committee is Section 1. And it's a simple provision which, if you look at page 1, it's simply right now, there is a law that says only 4 task forces can be created by the department. This simply says that if a task force is mandated by a court, it would be exempt from that limitation. So, you know, if a department has four task forces already, but one is mandated by the court, that wouldn't take away one of the other task forces. So it's just an exemption for court-ordered, court-mandated task forces. It doesn't apply to, for instance, if the legislature mandates a task force. It's only if it's court-ordered. And I do have with me today Heidi Hamilton from the department who can speak more to that point.
Ms. Hamilton, could you just tell us a little bit of history on why the legislation, the law says that no more than four task forces can be created?
Madam Chair, members, my name is Heidi Hamilton with the Department of Human Services. I am not sure of the history of why it was limited to four. I do know that this past year there was a court order, the Jensen settlement, that required the department to establish two additional task forces, and so that's why we're bringing that language forward. But I'm not sure why it was originally limited to four.
Okay, just curious. Any other questions about Section 1? Any motions? Senator Johnson. So you can make the motion yourself. I don't have to do it. Senator Johnson moves that Senate Bill 459 is amended, be recommended to pass.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Senator Thompson is trying to get back to his seat to do something here.
Oh, okay.
Can we delay a second?
This is going to the Judiciary Committee from here. They've requested it because of Section 16 on vulnerable adults. I want to make sure you knew that. Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see that the A4 amendment corrects the problem unless I'm missing something. So at this point, I'd like to offer the A5 amendment.
The A5 amendment will be passed up.
And just while the members are getting it and taking a look at it, currently under the law as it exists, the state is allowed to contract these services out to third parties in the event that there's potential cost savings, and obviously the contractor has to be able to do the services and perform them. And when the most recent deal was cut with the federal government, apparently they neglected to get that in. Consequently, since the agreement wasn't there with the federal government, it got pulled out of the bill, out of Senator Eakin's bill. And so under the current structure, before my amendment, the state would not be able to contract these services out. So what this A5 amendment does is it directs the department within 60 days after final enactment of the bill to essentially make this request. In my understanding, Senator Nino, who had talked about this in the Health and Human Services Committee, had nonpartisan staff check on it, and there would be virtually no cost because all it is literally a form asking the feds to do this, to flip the switch back to the way it was, and then we would be able to go back to the way we've had it previously, that we'd be able to contract these things out. So all it's really doing is asking the department to get a provision in the contract with the feds that we've had before so we can contract these services out in the event that there's an opportunity to save costs. That's what's going on.
Senator Eakin or Ms. Hamilton?
And Madam Chair, I would consider that, Senator Thompson, to be a friendly amendment. It is in line with the intent of the A4 amendment that we offered. So
okay.
I would accept that.
Any questions, any comments from the audience?
Madam Chair, I just want to make sure that the current way we're paying, we are not able to continue that. There's five different payment methods for the process that we're trying to consolidate into one. We're fine applying to the federal government for permission to allow counties to contract. What we do have to understand is if it would change any of the systems that we currently use to reimburse and collect data, but we are more than willing to put in the request to the federal government.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair and Senator Eakin, I appreciate your receptiveness to that, and thank you.
Then Senator Thompson
moves.
I'll
move the A5 amendment.
A5 amendment. Any other discussion? Anyone from the audience? Questions? All those in favor of the A5 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. No. Motion prevails. Then we go back to Senator Johnson's motion that Senate File 459 is amended, be recommended to pass, and re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Senator Eakin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
Senator
members.
Reinert. Okay. You got it, Kathy. You just went over that with me, and I got confused. I think because the Senate grossed me.
Yeah.
That's why
I don't know.
Yeah, that just threw me. Senator Reinert.
Thank you,
and
Madam.
Let's see. Under our jurisdiction here, oh, we have a committee engrossment.
Yes.
That we need to adopt. That includes the changes made in the tax reform committee, but it wasn't made officially and sent to the floor.
Right. So
we have to adopt the engrossment.
Right. Madam Chair and members, we worked on this in tax reform division. I know some of you were there. Senator Thompson was. It's now come over here so we can look at the composition of the commission itself, and then we'll go back to full taxes. So if we could adopt the engrossment, and then I also have an author's amendment.
Motion. Senator Johnson.
Yes.
Okay. This will be moved then. We don't really adopt an engrossment, so it has to be a delete all amendment. We just have to make the motion. So Senator Johnson. SS0053CE as a delete. Yes, Senator Hall?
Never mind.
Okay. As a delete all amendment to Senate File 53. I'll put it in the shape that the author would like it, because this is actually its first official stop. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. So now what we have in front of us is the committee engrossment.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Reinert.
I have the A6 amendment.
And the A6 amendment should be in your packets. And this is basically to clean up the appointment language.
Correct, Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, the portion of this bill that has jurisdiction here is primarily Section 3, and it's the commission itself and the composition and structure.
We can actually adopt the A6 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Eaton moves the A6 amendment, again, to put the bill in the shape the author would like it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion prevails. All right, Senator Reinert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so when we looked at this in the Tax Reform Division, we spent the bulk of our time, obviously, on the expenditure, the tax expenditure component, and the review versus expiration. Prior to coming to visit with all of you, staff, legal staff and I sat and went through the composition of the commission itself and made some changes. So I felt like the bill as it was presented was a little squishy there, and then I wanted it to be non-squishy. So, members, you'll see what we did was we have four senators, including the chair of the committee with jurisdiction over taxes, and one senator appointed by the Subcommittee on Rules and Administration, kind of taking care of the majority side, and then two senators appointed by the Senate Minority Leader. So two and two. In the House, the same thing, the tax chair, a House member appointed by the Speaker of the House, two members appointed by the Minority Leader. So, again, two and two. And if you're doing your math, that's eight legislators that are part of the commission. There are then six public members, and as Senator Peterson was pointing out to me just prior to us coming up, as worded, like I said, it was a little squishy. But now we have a lot more definition to that. We have somebody who is a kind of, we're trying to get at regular person, so a taxpayer eligible for Minnesota Working Family Tax Credit. We have an owner of a small business as defined in statute. We have an officer aboard of one of our Fortune 500 employers, so we're trying to get at our large corporate presence. We have an officer or board member of a nonprofit organization, and then a person with experience in economic or business development. And those appointments are made by the governor. But we're trying to get a cross-section of people who currently benefit in one way or another from the various tax expenditures in state tax code. So as this commission reviews and makes recommendations, we have kind of the key stakeholders at the table.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Reinhart, will this have a fiscal impact?
the commission itself will have. It has the ability to hire a director and staff. That's not the way I originally drafted it, but it turns out the Department of Revenue wasn't willing to do it for free.
So. Okay. Thank you.
Senator Reinert, your citizen members, there's language in here that says the citizen members are eligible for reimbursement for expenses, Subdivision 9. Does that preclude them from getting, or they're getting that instead of a per diem? Because usually they would get like a $55 a day per diem.
Correct. It's actual expenses.
Actual expenses.
Right.
And is there a reason that you did that?
Well, because when we drafted and introduced it last year, it seemed like the most fiscally prudent way to do so.
The problem I always have with that is that if you want ordinary people to participate in these things and they have to take a day off work and they have to, you know, I mean, they'll be reimbursed for parking maybe. But it doesn't necessarily – I don't know if mileage is included here.
It's not.
And there is a provision in law for child care expenses to be included. So it's not clear to me that that is included here. So in some ways it might be better to just go with current law so that whatever we have in current law for reimbursement for participation.
And, Madam Chair, I'm certainly willing to take that under advisement. My attitude on this was to try and bring it forward with as small a budget as possible because it will have an impact just on the
staff. We are already hiring a director now.
True. But that wasn't my original intent.
So you've got, you know, small business owners and somebody eligible for the Minnesota Working Family Tax Credit. Unless they work nights, you know, they would have to take time off. I mean, I'm not so worried about the officer or board member of a Fortune 500 company. They probably would get paid for doing this from their regular job. Even the nonprofit or might. But it's, you know, it's an issue. And I don't think $55 per meeting per person is going to break the budget.
Madam Chair, I'm certainly open to the committee's direction on that.
All right. Well, why don't you look at that? But otherwise, you've worked with our staff to put all this language on the A6 amendment into proper shape.
Correct. Ms. James and I have gone a couple rounds on this.
The other thing I wanted to bring up is that according to our rules, anytime you put legislators on a board or commission, you have to go to the Rules Committee. And I'm sure it's an attempt to kind of keep our participation down. So in terms of your route, do you think this will end up in an omnibus tax bill? Or will it go on its own?
Madam Chair, I think it's going to end up in an omnibus tax bill.
So maybe you want to go to the Rules Committee first. So because I'm sure they're not going to want to take the whole tax bill to the Rules Committee unnecessarily.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Reinert, I know this isn't the Tax Committee, but could you just speak to a little bit? I know that nonpartisan staff puts together a tax expenditure review report, which is fairly extensive, very detailed, gives legislators all the information they need to understand kind of the fiscal impacts of tax expenditures and maybe why this commission is necessary in light of the fact that information is kind of already there at our disposal.
Mm-hmm. Senator Reinert.
Madam Chair, that's a great question. And there's sort of a twofold answer. One is that the tax expenditure review report looks at the fiscal impact of expenditures, but misses two really important components. One is, does it actually incent the behavior that someone thought it would when they decided it was important enough to write it into the state tax code? We have no data that tells us if a particular expenditure actually incents you to do something or perhaps just rewards you for behavior already done. The other thing it doesn't do, none of these expenditures have sunsets. Once they're in law and we have nearly 300, they're on autopilot forever. And it seems to me, and, you know, some want to have sort of the revenue conversation about this. I want to have the good policy conversation about this. To have them there and to never revisit them and to not know if they actually incent any particular behavior just seems like bad policy. So we had the tax expenditure study group 2 years ago who did a great report on this, which I'd highly recommend for members that are interested. And one of the things they said was put together a group of people that at least reviews these. Actually, they said put together a group that expires them on a regular basis and force us as legislators to reauthorize them, because they're just the same as if we're writing a check for something, except they're a lot less transparent. They're still spending, but they're spending that goes unnoticed. So the point would be to at least put them out there on a regular basis and give us as legislators some data on how much do they cost, do they actually incent the behavior we thought they would, and have them on a cycle so we at least tacitly reauthorize them instead of them just being on autopilot.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That makes a lot of sense. It seems like, excuse me.
I can only listen one at a time, so.
So the tax expenditure advisory committee, I would imagine, works with the Department of Revenue, and it would seem as if you're kind of engaging, or at least in a conversation around dynamic scoring, almost. I mean, by kind of looking at not just what the fiscal impacts are, but how it affects kind of the tentacles of everything else that it may touch. Is the department able to do that? Are they willing to do that? Or is that just going to be kind of to the judgment of the members of the commission as to make those dynamic considerations?
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, I think that would depend on who you ask. You know, I think the department's position has been that that's probably not something they're staffed appropriately to do now. I'm not sure I agree with that, because they clearly do great tax work for us on other areas, and I'm not convinced that this is a whole new something. They already do the tax expenditure report. They helped staff this group that looked at this 2 years ago. But it's clearly an area where we as legislators deserve more information. I mean, it's a huge amount of spending that we just don't revisit. You know, every other, the cash out spending, we must visit every 2 years. The expenditures, you know, with some exception, we may never have to revisit. So this at least forces us to take a look at them. And what the commission would do is make recommendations and bring them back to the tax chairs and the tax committees and further action, further action.
Any other questions? Then I had Ms. James come up with some language on line 2 and page 2 and 3, subdivision 9, after the word compensation. Delete all the language and insert. Public members shall be compensated as provided in section 15.059, comma, subdivision 3, period. And that, I think it's $55 a day.
Madam Chair, could you repeat that again?
Public members.
What page are you talking about?
Page 2.
Okay.
Subdivision 9, after compensation, delete all the language in that subdivision and insert public members shall be compensated as provided in section 15.059, comma, subdivision 3. And that's the section that allows for a $55 a day per diem. Still probably doesn't cover a day's work, but might cover a couple hours. If you have to
and Madam Chair,
off.
So you're deleting the information on the top of page 3 also?
Yes.
Okay.
And Senator Reinert, you're okay with that?
I don't have any objection, Madam Chair.
Okay. Then Senator Eaton will move that amendment. Any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Do we have any other amendments, any other issues, any other testimony? Then would someone like to make a motion?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, would the motion be based on your previous advice to send it to Rules next?
That's my advice. They have taxes wants it back, obviously.
Right.
But it will need to end up in Rules. So. And if I'm wrong with that, then we can just shoot it over to taxes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to have a roll call.
Senator Anderson? Okay, a roll call has been requested. A roll call will be granted.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Eaton. Okay, Senator Eaton moves that Senate File 53, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the Rules Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Pappas?
Yes.
Eaton?
Yes.
Hall?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Dahl?
Yes.
Hayden?
Yes.
Housley?
No.
Johnson?
Yes.
Peterson?
No.
Scalzi?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
No.
Torres Ray?
Yes.
Wicklund?
There being eight yeas and five nays, the motion does prevail, and the bill is passed and referred to the Rules Committee.
Madam Chair, just before I go, I'd love for members who voted no to share with me their concerns. I was not aware of any coming in. We had a good hearing in taxes. This is actually a bill that was heard by Chair Ortman when she chaired the Tax Committee. It's not my intent to do something here that's going to go on party lines through the process. Thank you.
Senator Thompson?
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll talk with them offline.
Yeah, I guess I share that concern, is I wish that the members had felt more free to express their concerns and, you know, offer amendments if they're wanted to. So, okay, next bill is Senator Dahl, Senate File 6368. I hope it wasn't my amendment. I did it.
Madam Chair, yes, I do have Senate File 368, and this particular bill has been through transportation. And when we were in transportation, and I do believe it has to go back to transportation eventually.
Because finance, of the funding.
And, but we did have a little concern from the Commissioner of Public Safety, and so we did they asked that we kind of make that fix. So we're doing that with an A3 amendment.
You want to explain the A3 amendment?
I will let Valerie
Ms. Doslin
make that little, since she was working with the department on that issue.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Doslin, and I represent the Minnesota Drivers Traffic Safety Education Association. The Department of Public Safety, I don't believe, is here, but my understanding in the email exchange was that they wanted to change the effective date of the bill to help better align with their processes, and then they also want to do exempt rulemaking, and I would defer to Ms. James on this, but they wanted to do exempt rulemaking because this is not the changes to the bill, which allows for concurrent driver's education, the classroom portion and the driving portion to happen concurrently, is not controversial. And so my understanding is that's why they've requested this language.
Who's requesting the rulemaking language?
Department of Public Safety.
Department of Public Safety. But in the original bill, they had, which came from your association, it had been exempt. Is that correct?
It was not. And they requested the exempt rulemaking because this was not controversial.
Who's they?
The Department of Public Safety. They need to go through rulemaking to make changes to the driver's ed rule in relationship to whether or not students can take driver's ed, the classroom portion at the same time and the driving portion at the same time. So there's changes that they need to do regarding their permit, the driver's ed permit.
This is a Department of Public Safety bill?
No, it's not. It is a bill that was brought forward by the Minnesota Drivers Traffic Safety Education Association.
All right.
And they testified in committee that they would, with these changes, that they need these changes to enact the provisions of the bill.
They need the rulemaking authority.
Yes.
To enact the changes in the bill.
Correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, and it didn't get added in the Transportation Committee.
No.
Correct.
Okay. It's confusing enough. everybody's agreed to adopt rules to make these changes.
Yeah, Madam Chair, yes. So I will move the A3.
Okay. All those in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The A3 amendment is adopted. Any other questions on the bill? Yes, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dahl, on page 2, the 2.24 task force, I don't recall that... being I carried this legislation, I think, a couple years ago, and I don't remember us talking about an improvement task force, but I could be wrong, but if you could enlighten me, or Ms. Dozlin could enlighten me on the reason for it.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Anderson. By the way, giving you my own background, I've been a driver education instructor for 30 years, so this is why I think they brought this particular bill to me. And it does two things. The concurrent driver's ed, which does allow after 15 hours of classroom, it allows, of course, behind the wheel in the afternoon. Prior to that, it was 30 hours of classroom, and then you get your permit, and then you can sign up for behind the wheel. So this does allow that kind of application, you know, during the actual classroom instruction. The task force, there was a the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration published some standards for all driver education safety programs in 2009, and the Department of Public Safety has not held a public meeting to discuss those suggestions. And so what this bill does, the Novice Driver Education Improvement Task Force, would ensure that driver education programs in Minnesota meet the national standards published by the U.S. Department of Transportation National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So it would be up to the task force, as you read through that section of the bill, to determine which of the standards they might want to adopt in Minnesota. And some of those recommendations include things like 40 hours of classroom versus the current 30, 10 hours behind the wheel, 10 hours of in-car observation, annual continuing education requirements for instructors. There's about 25 things here, many of which would be quite a change, but again, I would wonder if the task force would be wanting to implement that. So I think it's, you know, given the fact that the number one killer of our teenagers in Minnesota and the United States is obviously car fatalities, car crashes, driving fatalities, I think it's worth at least the task force to look, is our driver education programs up to speed? Should we take the advice of the National Highway Transportation standards and implement them? What part should we implement? So that is, it's just seeing, it's been probably a long time since we've actually looked at some of those standards.
And Ms. James, does the composition of this task force and the structure of it meet all the guidelines?
Madam Chair and members, yes, it does.
I guess I was confused by the amendment, and I wanted to make sure everyone else understood, since Ms. James had to explain it to me, that it says the commissioner will adopt rules, but they don't have to adopt rules under the regular process. They can adopt rules under the expedited process. I don't know if anybody was in on the conversation or if we had it in this committee. I think we did with the health exchange. Right. Is the regular process 2 years, expedited process 6 months, you know, et cetera. So this is the expedited process.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for that clarification.
Any questions, comments? Yes, Senator Anderson.
So, Madam Chair, Senator Dahl or Ms. Dozlin, the task force was recommended, or it was added to your bill on the basis of the driver's instructors that wanted this there, or is that the main?
Madam Chair, I believe it was the Minnesota Driver and Traffic Safety Education Association's recommendations that we put together our task force, which, as you can see, is a pretty good group of people to weigh in on whether our standards should be updated to conform to more national and more stringent standards.
So, Madam Chair,
Senator Anderson,
Senator Dahl, does this sunset? I mean, does it go for us? I didn't see that, but maybe I missed it.
Senator Dahl,
do you see that,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Ms. Dozlin.
Senator Anderson, yes, there is a sunset. If you just would bear with me for a minute while I
meant
to.
Madam Chair, there is a task force that's supposed to submit a report no later than August of 2015.
4.3.
And then
it says it's repealed September 1st, 2015.
And there is a repealer on the last page.
That's the sunset.
I missed that. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Any other questions? Okay, Senator Dahl.
I will. Is it going to finance? Next.
Yes.
Finance.
Madam Chair, I move Senate File 368 as amended, and we recommend it to pass and refer it to Finance.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson?
Yes, and which one were we?
663.
663. Okay, Madam Chair and members, Senate File 663 is coming from the Department of Administration, and Mr. Yoakum is around somewhere. Okay. I saw he was here before, but didn't see him then. Basically, what this bill is a technical bill that takes care of reporting requirements and is in keeping with what the department is doing right now. Mr. Yoakum could explain the history to this if you'd like him to, and I would like that.
This is the resource recovery.
Correct.
Okay, Mr. Yoakum, welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kurt Yoakum with the Minnesota Department of Administration. Thanks to Senator Johnson for her willingness to carry the bill and for the committee to hear it today. The Department of Administration is responsible for coordinating recycling services and activities in the Capitol complex. Several years ago, there was a change to how this was done, and that this is run as a business service at the Department of Administration. And there's an entity that we use to perform the recycling services. It's a DEED and DHS certified rehabilitative service for individuals with physical and intellectual impairments. And it's an employment program for them. But in any event, the Department of Admin does not actually run the program itself, but uses a contract to take care of the service. And the bill here, is, as Senator Johnson said, is just more of housekeeping changes to make sure that the language and statute reflects how the operation is currently being done. This does not allow get admin out of recycling services, nor does it change any of the recycling goals that have been mandated in statute. We're still to achieve those, which we're doing a very good job at. And so, again, it's just kind of changing how it's reported and how we which type of items that we're reporting to a PCA, or I should say the format for Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, who ultimately issues the metropolitan-wide and statewide recycling rates for the state.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Okay, Senator Johnson, good job. Ready for your amendment, your motion.
I would move that. Will this bill go to the floor?
I think it goes to the floor, right.
Okay. I thought it would. So I would move that Senate File 663 be adopted and sent to the House floor. Senate floor, I'm sorry.
Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson moves that Senate File 663 be recommended to pass and to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Senate File 675.
Senate File 675 is, again, a technical Department of Administration bill that would deal with some of the jobs that they have undertaken and now are no longer doing that. And so I would appreciate if Mr. Yoakum would tell you about it.
Mr. Yoakum.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe that Ms. James may have a technical amendment. Was one oversight in the bill. But let me just give you a background. Again, Department of Administration, our mission statement is to provide the best value in government administrative services. As part of that, we try going through statutes every so often, try removing either obsolete, redundant, or maybe requirements that are no longer adding value. And these are a couple that have come up in our attempts to do some report streamlining. The first is regarding the Minnesota Milestones. And the Minnesota Milestones was a reporting mechanism or a performance measure started back in 1991 under Governor Arne Carlson. And it had demographically about 70 performance indicators that the state measured, and several reports were done in the mid-90s. But basically between 1993 and 2002, four reports were done. And then basically the subsequent administrations all started to use their own performance measures, and this basically became obsolete. But then it was resurrected in 2011. There was a little bit of interest, and so our demographic department did do a 2011 report. That being said, these performance measures aren't being don't have necessarily a relevance to the state budget process any longer. And quite frankly, the State Demographic Center doesn't have the resources to do this report. And along those lines, there's entities such as the Wilder Foundation that puts out the Minnesota Compass project. And if any of you have ever had the chance to see that, they have a lot more resources to throw into that. Mm-hmm. It's very well done. It's much more robust, and it breaks down geographically much more into minutia than we were capable of doing. So that's the background on that side. On the there's another provision in here regarding a state agency guidebook, and that's where the amendment that Ms. James has is and the bill actually refers to the electronic version of it. There's supposed to be a cross-reference to the actual underlying state agency guidebook. The Department of Administration has been required in some form or another to put out a guide to state agency services or state agencies.
Is that what they call the white pages or something?
It actually goes beyond that. It's at least when it had been published in its original format, it had a combination white pages and then items that you would see, let's say, in the Secretary of State's blue book that you receive every 2 years, and also I believe what we see on agency websites now. So it gives you the commissioner and the different divisions. And then in that provision had been around for several years, and then in 1997, when the state put forward its the legislature enacted what was called the North Star Portal, which would be the process for which all information for the state was put online. And especially as we've all lived it in this room, as we've seen more information become available, and in essence, a state entity or any entity is not going to be doing any type of business or operations without some sort of presence on the web. And a lot more of this information has been transitioned over to the websites. And the other thing I should add is when this legislation was originally passed, the old Office of Enterprise Technology was a part of a Department of Administration, and they have since spun off separately. But just to let you know, so the information is not going away. It's just a matter of how it's delivered. I pulled off today from Minnesota.gov. There are 18 pages of links to all the state agencies. In addition to these 18 pages, there's other sections to every state agency, Facebook site, Twitter site, and then that's done for the other branches. In addition to that, I did pull out the DEX phone book just to make sure that the blue pages are still in there for all the state agencies, and I was able to pull that out. And then the last thing doing research for this bill was that back in year 2000, Management Analysis Division was mandated to do a report on the state agency guidebook. And, basically at that time they perceived or they had found in their report regarding the state agency guidebook, both electronically and the print copy, that the moment that the book was published, it was perceived to be so out of date or dated information that most users, whether it was the online version or the printed version, just did not pay much attention to it. Rather, they were going straight to agencies' websites, and so we felt that this was an obsolete provision. So that's the background on that.
Okay. And then the what is the A1 amendment? What is that repealing?
That goes back to, and I apologize, this was an oversight on my part, that the The bill, as you have it, as it stands before you, refers to the guidebook on the electronic format, but it actually refers back to the actual original legislation on the guidebook, and so that's repealing the actual guidebook.
Is that, how long is that language? Let me just see. So, okay, so the heading says Agency Organization Guidebook, and it's pretty much what you said it was, so. Okay. Well, just, you know, in the future when we do repealers, we do like to see the language that was being repealed, too.
My apologies for that.
So any other questions on the A1 amendment? Or any questions? Okay, all in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Who moved it? Senator Johnson moved it.
I did.
All opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. Ms. James brought up something, Mr. Yoakum. Did you want to also repeal the requirement in 4A.1111 for the milestones report? I can send that language to you.
Madam Chair.
Since you're striking the information to assist with the preparation of the milestones report, you're not doing the milestones report anymore. Why don't you stay down there because he might have to send it back. Here.
Yes, that's definitely acceptable.
Oh, I see.
Okay, why don't you send that back to us?
Madam Chair, while you're looking at that, I was provided the information from Minnesota or Compass from the one that's put together by the Wilder Foundation, and it is really very fine in terms of the information that's available. I would recommend any of us look at it. MinCompass.org is the website.
You can it drills down to your district. I'm not sure if it's by city or county, but you can drill it down. Does anyone here remember Minnesota Milestones? Raise your hand.
And I like it.
Well, I hope that we are thinking about doing something in its place. That also would be a way to measure how we're doing as a state.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, just in response to that, two things. One is that, the current governor's budget does have performance measures on each and every provision that's put out there on which the agencies are to be judged. And the other thing is that a lot of this information that is in the Minnesota Milestones is still collected either via through the census process or through other means. And the demographic,
like you mentioned, Wilder.
But the Minnesota Demographic Center does, within the Department of Administration, keep a lot of this information. It's a matter of in which format it goes out, and as opposed to the legislatively or statutorily prescribed milestones report, there's other ways that this information, I think, can be used, and it will still be collected. It's just a matter of in which type of format it's being put in.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Torsby.
Just since you ask, I think part of the problem that we have is that the collection of data requires that you actually have the skill and understand how to extract that information and put it in a format of a report. So what the milestones did was actually do that. You got the demographic information and you produce a legislative report. I think that was fantastic, and we don't have that function anymore. And I argue that, we don't have information that provides that kind of demographic analysis, regional, statewide, and we lack that here. We need more information. I have to call NCSL every time I want to have a discussion about policy to get me information, so that's that's very unfortunate.
Madam Chair, Senator Torres-Ray, thank you very much for bringing that up, and we will definitely bring the state demographer over to sit down with you. I think one of the things that Tom Glassby, the former state demographer, did a wonderful job. There's probably not a person in the state while he was counting he wasn't talking to. But in his place, we have Susan Brower, who is continuing
Susan,
on his
raise your hand.
Great. who's doing his great work, but she's also trying to find more innovative ways also to deliver the report, has made much more of a social media presence for the office, is also continuing the tradition of getting out and talking to the public, and she's getting fairly introduced to the legislature right now, and they are taking advantage of her services, and so we would definitely like to extend that opportunity to sit down and see where we can provide better information that's more useful to you. Thank you.
So we're moving from the Tom and Tom show to the Tom and Susan show.
Exactly.
Okay, members, this issue of the Minnesota Milestone Report that was suggested be repealed, the language for that would be amending the A1 amendment. So after section, add an S to create sections on line 1.4. Okay. To amend the A1, the amendment to amend the A1 amendment on line 1.4, after the word section, add S. Then after 14.04, insert, and 4A.11. Strike is and insert R. So that would then delete the language for the Minnesota Milestone Report.
So, Madam Chair, who's,
yes,
who is offering the amendment?
Senator Johnson.
Offer the amendment.
Did you want to offer it?
If you want to,
no,
that would be great.
I'm just asking.
Fight over it. No. Is everyone clear about what we're doing, that we're deleting that language for the report? Where is that? What happened to that language? I just want to make sure you see that it says the commissioner must review the statewide system of economic, social, and environmental performance measures known as the Minnesota Milestones, provide economic, social, and environmental information necessary to assist officials with understanding and evaluating Minnesota Milestones, and report on the trends and implications each year, provide the Commissioner of Management and Budget with recommendations for its use in budget documents, and must contract for the development of information and measures. So the argument, Mr. Yocum, would be that this is already being done, but not under the title of Minnesota Milestones. It's being done either by Compass or the demographer or by performance measures by each department.
Right.
Okay. Yes, Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, would that necessarily to give reference to the people that are going to be doing it? Is that what 4A.11 does, or is that just getting rid of that section? Right,
it's repealing this section,
right,
for the milestones report, since we don't do it anymore.
But is it giving any direction as to who is picking up that slack?
I think in the language of the bill.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, the milestones report itself would be going away. Quite frankly, it hasn't been done for several years. But the demographic information, the information that still that corresponds with that is typical information, the normal information that the state demographer does collect, but they'll be using in different formats. It just won't, you won't see the large reports that the milestones used to be back in the 90s.
And Senator Anderson, if you look at the language in the bill, current law still requires a report. We're just really saying that we're not calling it the milestones report anymore.
Chucks.
You like that name? You remember Irony Carlson's baby? Don't tell him.
Mom's the word.
Okay. Then Senator Johnson moves the amendment that would add to A1, basically the language, and 4A.11. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Well, that committee went awfully fast, Ms. Josephson. So we're done early.
Did we do the...
Oh, we didn't vote on the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, we were going to leave without voting on the bill. That's because I was trying to tease her. Senator Johnson?
I would move that Senate File 675 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor.
As amended. Senator Johnson moves that Senate File 675 is amended, be recommended to pass, sent to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The committee is adjourned.
Thank you.